listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. We're going to have a good episode. They're all good, but we're going to talk about the Mach 1, some pricing information on the Mustang Mach 1, what's going on with my truck. Had a little issue this weekend with it, and a bunch of stuff. It's going to be good. The ups and downs of doing custom work on a vehicle like my Ford Lightning. But before we get started, tell you about Dodge. Take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars. You can drive home any 2020 Challenger, Charger, or Durango and save $10 per horsepower. So if you want to jump in a Charger SRT Scat Pack with 485 horsepower, well, that's $4,850 off. The lineup includes the most powerful SUV ever and the 807 horsepower Dodge Challenger SRT Super Stock. This is the replacement for the Demon. The Super Stock is amazing. It's more than just power. It's the first domestic brand to rank number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year per J.D. Power. So go to your local Dodge dealer now and take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars while it lasts. There's never been a better time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. How you doing,
That's
Bill?
That's a good morning sound, man. I'm doing good.
Good morning. I love that big burnout sound. That was the Dodge, by the way. Speaking of Dodge, it's time for Dodge Power Dollars. That means for each horsepower, you get $10 off your purchase of a Dodge Charger, Challenger, or Durango. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars today for an amazing deal. Well, we got some... had a kind of a fun little weekend, if you will. We went out to I met Adam Carolla out at the new shop that we've been putting together. You've got your super garage you're putting together. We've got our shop. We bought a building out here, and we're kind of moving it over. You know, everybody's heard us talk about this a little bit, moving over the finished car collection. So it's more of a museum and a little less of a working shop. We still have what we call the race shop here. The guys have all their gear, but it's just constantly just a forklift coming in and out and guys welding and painting and lots of machinery that causes a mess. So we thought, hey, let's get a nice sort of museum type of shop there. Also for the events that we do and Super Bowl party and watching the games, we wanted a nice kind of area for that. And we were talking about on the other episode about getting the staircase done and getting the mezzanine built, and of course all the bullshit that happens with California and the way they make you overbuild and sit on permits. And I'm not gonna waste too much time complaining about that. You could tune on Friday, probably get enough of that from Adam. But I could tell you the staircase is turning out fantastic. I teased it a little bit to you guys on Instagram. I'll post some new photos of it. We work with a company called ViewRail. They did a great job. It's a floating staircase. It just has this big I-beam kind of spine in the back right down the middle. Big oak steps, all glass on the sides, and then this mezzanine that we built where we'll have, you know, the couch and the big screen and all that. They did glass railing around the whole thing. Turns out that stuff was wildly expensive, but these guys did such a great job. Adam has been having his guys go over there and assemble all the stuff and make some modifications and install. And, you know, not everything's going to be perfect. You're going to end up fudging a few things on your own, but it's good things that we have. You know, we have builders on site. We have Adam on site. We have fabricators. Our car guys are over there welding and cutting and being able to do things like that on site, which you do need a little bit of, right? Don't think it says prefab and it's just going to fit right in. It did not fit right in. Like, you need to fudge it a little bit. But got it all to work. Most of everything is installed at this point. We're waiting for some finishing touches, some wood end caps and stuff. So we went out there this weekend to run through some of the stuff and meet with the AV guy about where he's going to do a screen and a projector and all that. And I cannot tell you how many times Adam is like, this was a good call. You made a good call on this. Doing all the glass and doing everything. He goes, I know it was pricey. It definitely changes the whole place. It just really makes it feel like a world-class museum. Thanks to the guys at ViewRail for that. So it looks fantastic. Like I said, we'll get some photos. You know, we haven't done the floors. We're going to do like an epoxy floor, just give it a little color, just a gray, something neutral to make the stairs pop, the glass pop, the cars pop. You know, what we were thinking too is some of the displays that we have like Paul Newman cars and Paul Newman racing suits and even a Tom Cruise racing suit. And they've been hanging on some of the walls in the shop. And some of the Paul Newman suits have been put in a safe. But the new place is we've beefed up the security and there's cameras and all that stuff. And there's no people welding and, you know, potential for fire. Like everything is done.
Oh, shit.
You know, the place has like we have sprinkler systems here, but the new place has it all done. And then. By the way, we went with Big Ass Fans. That's the name of the company, Big Ass Fans, and they're great. We did a bunch of sort of regular fans all over, and then there's two giant 12-foot fans in the middle of the room. And the way those work are because you have your fire sprinklers. If there's a fire and the sprinklers need to go off, the fans automatically shut down. They're tied into the fire system, right? Because otherwise you would just be – it'd be like any one of these California fires. You get a little wind and it spreads all over the place. Yeah. There's no wind. It slows it down dramatically. So that's a complicated system as well. They need to come and install those sort of officially like a – you know, one of their certified guys. All the small fans we can install. The big ones have to be done by them because it ties into the fire system and the whole thing. But it's going to be badass. It's going to look great. Getting the AV system installed. And, of course, as I'm heading out there, it's a bit of a drive for me. I'm in the truck. I'm in the Ford Lightning. It's running great. I'm you know, the steering makes all the difference in the world because now you can do 80 miles an hour on the freeway and not – bounce all over the place and try to, you know,
adjust.
Yeah, you're just moving the wheel a foot to the left and right, just trying to get it straight down the lane. Now it just kind of it feels so much better doing that. Of course, I, you know, whatever I do about 35, 40 miles, I get there, I pull into the parking lot, I kind of slap it in reverse and do like a U-turn to get into one of the spots. And right when that happens, I hear a pop and smoke comes out from under the hood. I'm like, oh, man, what's going on here? I was like, ah. And so I'm in the parking spot. So luckily, I didn't have to drive it. I wasn't doing 80 miles an hour. I didn't have a lot of RPM. I thought the engine just blew.
And you'd already pre-planned for disaster by backing into the parking
spot. I backed into the spot, which worked out great. I shut it down. I open the door. I see fluid going everywhere. And I'm like, okay, there's only a handful of fluids it could be. What is it? So my thought is, oh, you know, the custom thing we did was steering. So that's most likely to have a failure in it because it was all custom done. So I opened the hood and sure enough, power steering line broke. Now, after looking at it some more, there was, of course, there's the high pressure line and the low pressure. The high pressure is the one that pops. It did not burst the line. The line is fine because I was thinking to myself, and a few guys on Instagram were saying, oh, maybe we should step up to braided lines. And I was like, I'm all for it. Let's do it, whatever it's going to prevent the problem. But here's the thing. The rubber line, which is high pressure, came out of the fitting. It was a custom-made line, and they put it in. They used a special crimping tool, and they get it to work. And they just dropped the ball on making the line. It was an outsourced company. And I said, well, what about braided? And they said, you know what? The braided line would be fine if it burst due to pressure, but it didn't. And the fitting on the braided line for power steering crimps on basically the same way. So it wouldn't have solved that problem. They said they looked at it. They said, we apologize. It's our fault. We just didn't get the hose in all the way when we made the line. So they're fixing it at basically their cost, other than, you know, time and rental car and whatever, you know, whatever the hassle is. But at least getting the line done and installing it is all on them. And they said, we're taking care of it and we'll have it done in a day. But I'm standing there, brand new building, you know, it's all painted up. The guys are going in, you know, looking at the stairs, and Adam's there, and there's just fluid coming all through the parking lot. You know, the guys out front are doing like the planters and making it all nice, and we're going to install a gate over there. And there's just
You're with power steering fluid everywhere.
And I got power steering fluid everywhere. And I just told Adam, I was like, do you have a hose around here? I'm going to have to get I don't know, the oil stain remover and get out there with the way to do it is you put that stuff on, you hit it with a hose, and then you got to get like a brush, like a push broom, and use it as a brush, like a scrub brush. And so I'll go over there and clean that up. And Adam's like, well, don't do it now. Yeah, he's like, well, don't do it now because we have guys coming in and back and forth and semi trucks and forklifts. And he goes, so if we're going to clean the lot, he goes, don't worry about it now. It's not something we need to do right away. But that made a mess. And here's the weird thing. This may be just coincidence of what happened, but I called AAA. They show up with the flatbed. And of course, the truck runs. I don't want to overspin or blow out the, you know, heat up the power steering pump. So all we did was, again, if I was doing 80 on the freeway and it blew and the fluid all came out and that pump was spinning, it wouldn't take much to heat the bearings.
That's a different story.
Yeah. You know, so I just, the flatbed came up. I just fired it up, pulled it out 10 feet. And drove it up under the truck and shut it down. Well, I didn't. The AAA driver did. So he gets it up on his flatbed, crazy up on an angle like a ramp, like he's trying to launch the thing, like gone in 60 seconds on the bridge. And he puts it in park. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he hits the emergency brake. Now, I don't know about you guys, but my thought is, especially if you're on an angle like that, put the parking brake down first, let a little tension on the parking brake so you know it's holding, then put it in park so you don't fuck up your transmission. Yeah. So he puts it in park. He hits the brake. He lets go of the brake. You hear a loud clunk. The truck doesn't move. The truck doesn't move, but I see a spring fire out from back from under the truck.
Oh,
now,
Christ.
I don't know if that came from my truck or that came from his tow truck, but it was still sitting there on the back of the truck. And I don't know now if the brake is holding it or the transmission is holding it. Now, a little bit in my mind, I'm thinking, I just got delivery a week ago of the new Bowler transmission from Bowler. So it's not the end of the world for me. Otherwise, I would have been pissed. But I don't know. It's a little curious. So I found this spring. I put it in the cup holder. I said, take my truck over to Gallopin Auto Sports. And lucky for them, they accept 24-hour deliveries with their security guard. And then I called Tommy over there. He's the general manager of Gallopin. He's the guy I've been working with on this project. And I said, hey, power steering line. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I saw your post. We'll get it all taken care of. I said, while you're there, there's a spring in my cup holder. Maybe see if you could figure out where that belongs.
Just as a little secondary issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, I've never heard of that before. I go, well, I'm kind of hoping it came off this guy's truck, off his tow truck, not off my truck. So anyway, that was Sunday afternoon, and now we're here and in the studio on Wednesday. I'm recording, and I should be able to pick it up today. They turned it around very
easy
quickly.
Fix, man. Yeah, you got luck.
They turned it around quickly for me, but they did me a favor because that place is busy, man. Every time I walk over there, there's just a line of F-150s and Raptors, just like getting superchargers or different wheels and tire packages or upgraded shocks. As cool as the Raptor is, these guys take apart every single Raptor. They swap out all the suspensions, the clearance, all kinds of crazy stuff. It's always fun to see, but of course, every time I go in there, there's a guy there that also has a Lightning just like mine, black, 95. His might be 94, but his is black. And they did, Galpin did an LS swap on it. And it looks good, but every time my truck is there, his truck is there. And I get it. It's such a custom thing that you're trying to get everything to work. So I go every time I see his truck, I'm like, what's it in for? Because I want to know all the issues he's running
into. And he does the same with yours.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it was kind of funny because his swap was done before my truck got worked on. And then when I did I think it was Lear that did the retractable tonneau cover, the power one, which I love. His didn't have it. And then like a month later when I saw his truck in there, his had it. And I go, hey, nice tonneau cover. He's like, yeah, he saw yours and loved it and got it. It's
why
funny.
Reinvent the wheel?
It's funny because it's not like the swap that I was – I mean, I'm interested in the swap, but that's not what breaks, right? I look in his truck and I go, oh, he's got aftermarket door panels. So like, yeah, his were trashed. But now that I saw the aftermarket door panels, they're fine in his truck, but they're not exactly the same. You know, mine has the original trim. His is molded in. And I look at his and I'm thinking, well, I don't know. Do you paint this or what do you do there? And then when my air conditioning broke – his was in because his air conditioning broke. So now I'm starting to realize you can put any engine you want in there and even upgrade the compressor, but the other components are flawed, right? So although I upgraded most of the components, condenser, receiver, dryer, you know, evaporator, all of that stuff, I'm starting to think a little bit about the under dash unit and the factory controls. Now, I haven't looked under there. I don't know how big or how small it is or what shape it is. But when we do the whole engine and transmission swap, I'm kind of leaning toward just pulling out the factory system that's very dated, putting in a much newer, like vintage air system. Mm-hmm. And then also that allows me to go to digital controls instead of three big floppy dials.
Yep.
I can get the digital controls like from Dakota Digital. I can and kind of it's much more modern. It actually gives me like a temperature reading and I can adjust it that way. So it's a thought. I don't know. And I haven't put it under there, but the guys at Vintage Air have figured out they've done so many custom builds with hot rod builders all around the country, all around the world. You can, and before you go and drop, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever the whole system's going to cost, for, I don't know, $50 or $60, they have a mock-up unit. So you can get the case just completely empty, just the plastic housing. So you can go and like, oh, is it going to fit under the dash? And what are going to be the mounting points? And anyway, I love that idea.
Oh, yeah.
Of being able to do that. Because as I talked about before, the engines that I'm building, I have the 302 in my 93 Cobra, and I have the 351 in the Lightning. The heads and the front accessories are all very much the same, but the 351 is a wider engine. So as I'm custom making a supercharger bracket for the Cobra, I want to basically do the same design for the Lightning. But there's going to be a little bit of adjustments because one engine's a little wider than the other, right? So I might have to just take the brackets that I designed for one of them. If I designed it for the Lightning, then whatever. I just bring it down 10% smaller, roughly that. But the bolt pattern on the head, right, there's three bolts for the accessories that would mount part of this bracket are the same. Yeah, so once they get those measurements or get the CAD or whatever, if I make a file of that, then that's going to apply to both the same. So when I go get brackets made, I can say, yeah, here's the 351 version, here's the 302 version. They're all essentially the same. They bolt on the same, except one is, you know, an inch shorter or an inch longer than the other, depending on the 351 or 302. Anyway, that's kind of the idea to do it that way. Hopefully it saves me some time. And because I have What I'm finding into the problem I'm finding with the Mustang Cobra is because the engine is in the car and I'm trying to fit up brackets and stuff to it and custom make it, there's a few things that are very difficult to get to and you can't really measure and you can't take it all apart. So when I mentioned the Vintage Air mock-up unit, two thoughts is one, the Ford Lightning engine is because it's a new engine, I'm building it on an engine stand. I can take all the measurements. And then two, I can get the foam or the plastic engine block, the 302 version, right? And I can even swap and bolt on cylinder heads onto that block or get it with mock cylinder heads. So without pulling the engine out of my Mustang Cobra or trying to find another engine, I can just put the 351, the new Dart engine, on an engine stand, get the plastic block, the 302, on an engine stand next to it, do both the brackets at once, and that's going to push me much closer to getting the Mustang Cobra done that's been sitting around for about 4 years.
Anyway, and one thing leads to another.
This is my problem-solving mentality, is buy a whole new engine for the truck so it'll help me fix the Mustang.
I can't say that I haven't done that before, nor can I say that's the proper mode of operandi, but hey.
Now, listen, now hold on a second, because I've been by your place before you moved, and you were working on one of the vintage Dodge. I forgot which one it was.
What was I doing?
You were putting one of the cars together, but you needed a roadmap for all the nuts and bolts, so you bought another one. One was a convertible.
Convertible.
And one was a
68 GTX.
Yeah, the GTX. So instead of the mock-up engine block that I'm going for,
I just bought the whole vehicle
for $400. You bought a whole other vehicle and used it as an engine map. Well, now you got a cool.
I killed 10 birds with one stone.
Yeah, right? So you did it. The way I'm talking about, you just did it on a much larger scale. Truth be told, is over in Adam's shop, the Roadster that we're building, we have another Roadster, so we can use that. And the 510, we have another 510. So everything is a lot of replication of parts, not just fitting parts, but when you see how like the guys from BRE would custom make stuff back in the day.
Yep.
Now you have a template. Like if you're making a heat shield or some hopper for coolant overflow or something, you can kind of see what it is that they're doing. But
if you have the ability to do it, it's an unbelievable advantage.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Well, my ability is much more limited than certainly what we've got over here, what Adam's capable of doing, or even what you're capable of doing. But this is my plan with the engines and the brackets, and knock two supercharger deals out at once. Also, I got an update on that from the guys at Holley. Before I do that, Geico, you know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. Well, Geico can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in those pointy shoes, but they can save you 15% or more on car insurance. So stop waking up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night wondering what happened to that green onesie. Well, just switch to Geico and save. In 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. I don't know who gets the credit for that ad, but I'm giving it to Chris. Good job, Chris.
Way to go, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Go burn your onesie.
His little green onesie. I had a nice conversation with our friends at Holley. I've been friends with those guys for over a decade, and I've always been a big supporter of the project and stuff that we've done over here. Comp Cams as well, by the way. And as much as you think that like Comp Cams on many levels is competitive to them, but when I first started out doing this, doing the podcast for 11 years, in the automotive space, like 15 years officially, something like that, 14, 15 years, one of the first calls I made was to a guy at Comp Cams, and he said, "Welcome to the industry. We'd love to help you out. Also, call my buddy Bill at Holley, because if I'm in, he'll be in, or vice versa. Let's see. Let's make it happen." And I've been friends with those guys ever since, for a decade and a half. So Spoke to
great people, both companies.
Fantastic. Spoke to Comp Cams. They're coming on board to help me with my engine. We've designed a custom blower cam for this thing, up to just sort of a combination of what I wanted and their specs. We were able to come up with something. By the way, their cam techs are top notch, man. You guys need a custom cam. You just call them. You run it through what you're doing. Try to give them as much information as possible, the size of your engine, the size of the heads. You don't need the flow spec of the heads, but if you tell them, hey, I'm using, you know, Dart Pro 1 225cc, like they've got an idea of what that means. They have a pretty good idea of what that means. Compression, supercharged, not supercharged, nitrous, turbo, whatever you're doing. And they'll get you there. Flat tap head, roller, hydraulic roller, whatever you want. So we designed a cam. I'm going to go maybe it's overkill, but maybe not. The roller rocker setup, I want to do a shaft mount rocker setup. Just much better stability in there. Because we've already invested so much on the full aluminum Dart block and the heads and the whole thing. And I just don't want there to be a weak link in the system. So getting all of that done. And then it came down to we were talking about the different intakes and do you use the Holley, do you use the GT40 and all that. So I'm still waiting for the GT40 intake. And when I see it, I'll make a final decision. I'd like to use it, but we'll know when we see it. But talked to the guys at Holley, went through all of their fuel injection systems, Terminator, Terminator X, Dominator. And we came up with a Holley Terminator X EFI system that will control this engine. And with the right harness, it will completely control the transmission, the electronic transmission. And although they have a Ford spec system, EFI, for the Mustangs and 351s, and it has the right injector harness, they do have the harness that adapts that EFI to the GM 4L80E, right? So no problem with that. And I can control everything with one system. I talked to Ray at Full Throttle Customs, who's been doing the tuning, and he said, don't worry about it. I can take care of it. It's all going to be fine. You don't need the big Dominator system. We can make it work with the Terminator X Max. There's a Terminator X Max. And sort of the nice middle of the range system for EFI. It's not the basic and it's not the top. But I just told the guys at Holley, just give me what I need. You know, like we don't need to go overkill because I don't want to sit here and tell everybody they need a $2,200 Holley EFI system. And that's before you buy all the harnesses and everything else. And like for $1,200, you can get the package with all of the harnesses and stuff. So it's a great retrofit for the Fox Body Mustangs, and it's going to work fine for this truck. So getting that all dialed in, this was the decision we came down with, is with all of the fuss that's been happening with the gauges and that piston behind the gauges that controls the shifting and the speedo and the ABS light, and the speedo jiggles around all the time. And as much as I'd like to have the dash somewhat period correct, the whole thing's a pain in the ass, and it just seems like, again, we talk about a weak link in the system. I don't want that to end up being the weak link. So took some measurements, talked to Holley, and we're going to do their pro dash, the digital dash. I can't get the big 12.3, which looks amazing, so I'm going to get the 6.89 digital dash in there. And we'll just have to custom mount it. And it's interesting, Bill, because when we were talking about a second ago, the other Lightning that Galpin built that has the LS swap, that guy, he's not using Holley Pro EFI, but there's no way the Ford system dash would work with that. So he has just a hot rod dash, like a Dakota Digital, you know, gauge package, you know. And it works great and it looks good. There's like a weird kind of like oval shape to it that I don't really care for. And it has like a chrome trim and I think it should be blacked out. So I would have done things like a little bit differently, but I would have still probably used like an over-the-counter pre-built dash like they used from Dakota Digital. I like those guys a lot. But I think that the Holley Pro Dash is going to be the thing. And the idea of it being completely programmable now. So if I'm doing a track day, I can just switch it to like all my temp controls, my gauges and RPM and not really worry about, you know, a speedo or whatever. And then on the street, I can do a street configuration. It's going to be more better.
Is there any area on this vehicle that you can still refer to as keeping original? Because I remember in the beginning, the onset of this project, you were much more leaning towards keeping it original than where we are now.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never heard that before.
One thing leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another. And you have to rectify weak links.
Yeah.
And what happens when you rectify weak links? You end up replacing the original equipment.
Yes.
So what is original on this vehicle still?
The seats,
other than the sheet metal.
Okay, the seats are original. Now, don't laugh because the seats are very specific to this vehicle. And I even thought about, and I had discussions with a big seat company about swapping them out. And I think I would have just gotten too much flack from the Lightning audience. Not to mention, everyone would be like, where's your seats? I want to buy them. Because that's a big item to buy.
Eventually you'll change them.
Yeah, probably. But for now,
they're gone. You might as well start unbolting them now.
I have like a steam cleaner and it has the handheld kind of steam clean, upholstery thing. And I did that like last Thursday, Friday. So I was making sure they look good. And I was kicking around. I was like, well, it's 25 years old. Do I keep the seat covers and redo the foam? Have them kind of done up that way? I don't know yet, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how
discussions
go. Guaranteed.
After you take that on autocross or something one time, you'll put new seats in.
I'll probably put new seats in it. But then there's the other thing where I'm like, new seats. And the theme, of course, on the interior was there's a lot of period correct stuff. And we modernized things like the audio system's great. And it's got front and rear cameras and reverse camera. All that stuff actually works really well.
Because that came original on the 94 Lightning.
But I'm telling you, it's so much easier with all of that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
It's so much easier with all that stuff. It's the electronics, modernizing the electronics and having it actually work. My God, what a difference. What a night and day difference. So I don't know. I was kind of thinking about, if we get the nice fancy press cars, I'm like, oh, these seats are heated and they're cooled. They're cool. They're heated and
more
cooled
importantly
seats.
They'll keep you in the seat.
Yeah, that's the most important part. Anyway, so I don't know, the bodywork is all stock, the hood is stock.
Like I said, other than sheet metal, what's original in the car?
I don't know, but I keep trying to talk to Dave at Speedcore about doing the carbon hood and doing it so that wouldn't be stock.
I'm sure it'll happen because
he doesn't return my calls because I keep lowballing him on that Mustang convertible that I want to buy from him as well. And he's like, yeah, we don't need your chump change. We need real money.
We don't need to get rid of it that much.
We don't. Yeah. Yeah. And he doesn't want to like call me back and like, listen, stop lowballing me on that car. But I don't know. We'll see.
All I can tell you is I got a wonderful call from him over the weekend and it kind of went like, hey, Bill, I was thinking, do you mind if your entire charger is carbon fiber, if we just don't do the fenders and do you mind if we did? I'm like, really? Is this some kind of a trick quest? What's going on here? So, yeah, that's the update I got from the Speedcore guys.
So he wants to do like the roof and the C pillars and
I don't know. I'm imagining replicating what they did with the all wheel drive that we saw at in the MagnaFlow booth when there was the same.
I don't know if that was completely carbon.
Wasn't 100%, but
no.
It was,
but here's the thing: is we talked to them about them working with Classic Recreations on doing the 68 Mustang, and they did the entire unibody at a carbon, and. I don't know if Speedcore teased it, but I think Ralph Gilles did, and they're doing a vintage Charger. The whole unibody is carbon. And yep. Now that I think they're figuring it out that it's possible and how to do it, I think now they're leaning on you going, oh, well, maybe we should do a Charger version of this.
Okay.
Because it would basically be the third full unibody car that I know of, that we know of.
Yeah.
That they've done, but now that they're figuring out that it is possible,
yeah. And then you go to the you go backstory. It's like, okay, I was getting the car in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're looking at probably like 6 more months.
Well,
awesome.
Look, you got to wait for your garage to be done anyway. Where are you going to put everything? It's not like you can leave that thing outside. I know you want to drive it. You got other stuff. You got a TRX in the mail.
Well, the good thing is that the car's already up in Wisconsin. So the next step's going to be taken. So
the
mechanically, she's done.
It's good. It sounds fantastic. Like you said, you got the Dodge. You got the T-Rex coming, the TRX in the mail. They were starting to do some press drives. I haven't driven it yet. A lot of it's embargoed, but the guys I've talked to.
I saw the stuff over the weekend, and I was pissed that I wasn't invited to that one.
And me too, actually. It's kind of interesting. I don't know where they went. I probably didn't have time, but the the invitation would have been nice.
I think it was Utah. I'm not positive where it was.
Yeah, but everybody I talked to said, it's embargoed. I can't tell you anything, but holy shit. That's all.
Exactly.
That's all they've been saying. Speaking of car news, I got some Mustang updates for you. But before we hit that, Madison Reed missed her. So if you're working your home, let's say you're working from home, and staring at you and your coworkers, you got gray hair on your video calls. Well, are you thinking about coloring it? Well, if so, you're not alone. You're not alone. Maybe not the top of your head, Bill, but maybe I don't know. Got a little something in that beard. Madison Reed Mister. It's gray blending natural color for your hair and beard. See? I saw the before and after shots, and Adam's talked about it. I think he puts a little in his hair. They look great. It's no shoe polish look. It looks good. It looks very natural. So maybe you just want a little more pepper and a little less salt. Well, Madison Reed Mister makes it easy to find your color match on their website. It's quick and easy. Just apply the color gel to your hair, then the activator. You wait about 10 minutes, then rinse and shampoo. Plus, they deliver right to your door. Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's Madison Reed MR. Madison Reed is REEDMR.com. Use code Corolla for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla. Check that out. All right. So we talked about just an update on some news. We got some first off was Corvette C8. It's getting a lot of unnecessary attention because they halted production on it because there's some parts shorted due to COVID-related illness, I guess. The parts got ill. It was interesting because it was all over. They're like, C8 production halted. And then when you read the details, you're like, it's halted for like a week. It's going to be fine. It's not really going to hold up much of anything.
It's big news.
Yeah. It's big news. It's funny because we're kind of low on new car news, so there's not a lot. So when C8 production is halted for a few days,
grab a hold of that
it's all
run
over the place. But here is the news. The news is as we're recording this today on Wednesday, you'll listen to this tomorrow. What is today? The 14th? Today's the 14th. October 14th. Which, by the way, 73 years ago to the day, Chuck Yeager made his record-breaking flight, breaking the sound barrier, which is Mach 1. Well, Ford timed it that you can go to the dealer, you can call your dealer, and you can order your 2021 Mustang Mach 1. The price is $51,720 plus $1,195 destination delivery. And this car is a great – we'll get into more of the specs later. We're going to run out of time here. But the GT350 is basically done. You can get one. You can get the Heritage Edition, but it's not coming back for next year. GT500 we know is $80,000 to $100,000. And the Mustang, although great, the one that I was always kind of in love with – was the Mustang Bullitt, because the Bullitt had a little more extra horsepower. It had like the GT350 intake and revised Magna Ride and rev matching. You know, it lacked the Tremec transmission from the GT350, but it but the manual had rev matching, just wasn't quite as beefy. And it just, you know, for $50,000-ish, you'd be able to get something a little bit better than a performance pack GT, but not quite a full bore GT350. And now that that car is gone, so the Bullitt is done and the GT350 is done, the Mach 1 fits into this $51,000, $52,000 range. And they were able to learn quite a bit from the GT350 and even the GT500. For one, it has the upgraded Tremec manual transmission. You can get the 10-speed auto, but you got the Tremec. So now you get a beefier transmission, the 6-speed manual. But and for the first time, the Tremec manual has rev matching that you can turn on and off. So that's kind of cool. There have been revisions to the suspension, to the MagnaRide. It's been revisions to the cooling system, transmission, oil cooling, revisions to the aerodynamics, more downforce, better splitter, more diffuser, gurney flap. Really, really cool stuff. Now, I know a lot of people are asking, why no shaker hood scoop? I don't know the answer to that. I could be a packaging thing. It could be an aero thing. It could have been there was no way to make it work under the hood and actually be functional. And at this point in time, I just don't want – I don't think they wanted to do a scoop for the sake of a scoop and not have it be functional. Yeah. It was kind of cool what they did back in like the 2004 Mach 1s. Where the scoop was functional, but even then there was a little trick that because it looked good and the scoop was sort of flush with the hood, there was sort of an easy modification where you can adjust the screws and would lift it a little bit higher out of the hood. And the reason why is because that air coming over the hood wasn't really going into the scoop. The way it was just bouncing off and kind of going up. It didn't mean the engine wasn't getting air because the engine would also pull air from the fender well. The hood was just sort of an addition. But it still, as cool as it looked and it had a little bit of a function to it, it wasn't really that functional. So I think these guys were thinking they just didn't want to invest into whatever it's going to make it functional and have it be no real increase in performance and probably cause a little bit of drag and not really benefit aero. So they wanted to make, which is hopefully their best handling Mustang package out there, aside from the GT500. They want this thing to, I would say, essentially outperform the GT350, although that had more power, not a power issue, just a handling issue. But I could imagine that the aftermarket is going to jump all over this. They're going to come up with different hood scoops and some functional and some not functional, and we'll come up with something cool. And so if you really want that look, I'm sure you're going to be able to get that look. You're just not going to be able to get it from the factory for now. Who knows what they're going to do in the future. But what I do like is my point about this is, other than you can go in and order it, is I like how these cars are getting better each year within the lineup. They're learning from the cars that are coming out there.
They're right? More refined.
That's it. Is we're getting updates on cars year after year. So typically you have a car for what? Like a 5-year run, right? And then it gets a facelift or something like that, or a little power bump. And after 10 years, it gets whatever, a new platform. Let's just, for the sake of argument, give it that sort of time frame. But what we're seeing is, even the 2020 GT350, the last of the GT350s that you can get now, has significant upgrades over the one that came out in whatever 2016. You know, it has steering components, rack and steering knuckles from the GT500 because they proved those to be better. So now, the GT350 looks exactly the same as it did when it came out a few years ago, but there are differences year over year.
No question.
I mean, we talked about the new Toyota Supra, that being one of the biggest jumps. They took the Toyota Supra with 335 horsepower, and they made it 390 horsepower the second year, and it really kind of just screwed everyone in the first year. But, well, it screwed everyone who paid the dealer markup is what it did. But I like the
Demon Superstar.
I like the incremental updates, and it's basically what we've always wanted the car companies to do back in the day when they're like, you know, race on Sunday, sell on Monday. We want.
Well, it seems like we get response out immediately now, as opposed to having to wait for it longer periods of time. Number one, and if you keep the same platform, you got more R&D, you know, for future upgrades and refinement of the vehicle because you're still building the same car. But yeah, in essence, you're not.
And in each year of its 5-year run, it gets a little better, which is nice. Yeah, it gets absolutely. A little better, right?
I should hope so. You know, they got to be learning from mistakes. So.
Yeah, so I like that about it. I think the Mach 1 looks good. Can't wait to get in it and drive it sort of firsthand and sort of compare it to. You know, I've driven all of the Mustang, so I have a pretty good idea of how it will fit into that lineup. But the Mustang Bullitt is one of the most bang for the bucks for, you know, 50, 51 grand, whatever it is. I always thought when I test drove that years ago when it came out. Let's see. All right. Well, we're going to wrap things up, but I just wanted to give a shout out to Travis Pastrana. You work with him on the Evel Knievel Live thing, right, when he did the big crazy jumps. I don't know how much interaction you had with him while he was – as you guys were prepping for the show, because you were in the booth commentating and he was kind of
I've run into Travis a number of times throughout the years. But
yeah, he's been over here as well, and Adam's talked to him, and it's just a fantastic guy, super nice
guy.
Great
kid.
And always doing some crazy, crazy shit. I remember going to X Games, and Tanner was there, and Travis was there, and they were doing the rallycross stuff. And I saw Tanner come in. I think he won his heat. He came in, and then we were talking, and Ford had us there in one of their motorhomes just kind of watching. And then he came in, and then Travis came in with his Subaru. And he did a great job, but he didn't win. He gets out of the car. He has a broken foot. He did the whole thing with a cast on. and it was kind of like, I don't know, it was like painted to look like a shoe to not be as obvious. It had like, I don't know, it was like a Sparco sponsored cast or something. Yeah. And he's like, don't tell anybody I have a broken foot. And he was running the whole time with a big cast on his foot.
They're nuts, man. They're a different breed.
So he wants to do a Gymkhana video, and I don't know what he's done in the past in regards to this, but I think he's teaming up with the guys at Hoonigan and Ken Block, and he's going to do a Gymkhana video with a Subaru, but for the first time, they were able to make a purpose-built vehicle. This isn't this isn't one of the drift cars or the rally cars or anything like that they sort of queued up for the
listening
video.
To it, it's a souped up washing machine. That's what it sounds like. Go ahead. It's a badass car. It's a badass car. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's the coolest Subaru you're ever going to see. But it's still a Subaru.
I'm sure it's going to have crazy horsepower.
The coolest thing that I saw about that clip was a guy like Travis being at the top of his game, having all the talent in the world, cutting edge shit he's doing each time he goes out in a car, yet he's learning something brand new, and you could see the enthusiasm and the excitement, and you watch his progression over a 10-minute period of time or whatever it is, and you're like, Jesus Christ, that would take me a year or a week or whatever it is. You know, it's cool. It's cool to watch him be like a kid again. He's always going to be a kid, but to learn to see a guy in real time like that learn new stuff and be as exciting and as good as he is, it's pretty cool.
Well, definitely check out the car. Just Google anywhere, Travis Pastrana, Gymkhana, Subaru, and you're going to see this crazy Batmobile-looking thing with wings on the sides. It's really over the top. And as crazy looking as it is, especially those front fenders, they wind tunnel tested it and they made it work. I'm sure they went for a little bit of a Dark Knight kind of Batman flair to it, and they said, "Well, it's still
And all the Subaru guys are going to and the tuner guys are going to freak out over. They're going to love it.
Yeah,
it's like the Mustang that that you know, our boy did in the first one, which with that all-wheel drive. And I, you know what? I think Kyle Tucker built that car.
Oh, did he? The
I think Detroit Speed built Hoonigan's that Mustang, that all-wheel drive Mustang. I do believe.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know that. Yeah. When he
was really cool information to me to hear that, and I don't doubt it for any stretch of imagination, but it wasn't the initial fit that I thought would be possible. But I'm curious. I'm going to reach out to Kyle and talk to him about that.
Yeah, that would be interesting to find out a little bit more about that. I saw that car when it debuted. They did the video, and then I went and I saw the car at it was like a Gymkhana launch, you know, like a private launch event for the video. And it was initially naturally aspirated, and now I believe it's got twin turbos on it, coming out of the hood, big crazy turbos.
That's one of the coolest vehicles I've ever seen in the world.
It really is kind of cool. Yeah, actually, he did his truck too, his Hoonigan truck.
Oh yeah, it's not as cool as the car, it's not but as cool it's pretty
as the
cool.
Car. It's not as cool as the car, but anyway, interesting stuff. Well, listen, we're running out of time here. There's more new stuff. We'll just get to it next week. But I think that's about it. I want to make sure I got everything done here. Get all my notes, get everything done. All right, we're going to wrap things up. I'll give you guys some more updates. I'll post some pictures of the new shop and the truck and all kinds of stuff up on social media. And I'm kind of hoping we can maybe in a few weeks or so we can get Dave Salvaggio back on the line and find out what the plan is about this car, this top secret thing. Is he going to tell you what color it's going to do? Is he going to get any of the design details? Maybe he's got some renderings.
I think it's going to be a gray with some red in it, and he's got a lot of things up his sleeve. And, hey, I've never seen any creation that they've put out that I didn't think was as cool as hell. So.
Well, when he gets some idea or gets a rendering together, we should have him come in and debut that rendering here so we can see what it's going to look like. As a matter of fact,
Absolutely. He
shouldn't even show it to you. He should send it to Chris, and Chris should put it up here for the first time with Dave on the air to make it exciting.
Well, you guys are going to have to make that happen then, because I won't call him and do that.
I will definitely reach out to him and then make him another offer on his Mustang.
And on that note,
thanks guys, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Carcast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com, and don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. Carcast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Thanks so much for listening to CarCast. We appreciate you guys hanging with us again and again, and all the nice reviews and ratings up on iTunes. And I appreciate you guys hit me up on my social media, up on Moderator, and commenting on the shows and the posts. The show, of course, brought to you by Geico. And you know what's really scary? Seeing just how much Geico could be saving you on car insurance by switching. Well, it's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. Well, Geico can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in those pointy shoes, but they can save you 15% or more on car insurance. So stop waking up at night in a cold sweat wondering what happened to that green onesie. Switch to Geico now, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance.